Hi, this is Maze from, wait. Oh, this is Miz from, no, is that it? Oh, this is Mizey from, how would you say it then? Fine. This is Mize from Leader of the Pack, and you're listening to the Twisted Nether Blogcast.
To go unpunished.
So 3 and 13, 2 and 18, 4 and 9, 6 and 6.
Fim, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm just going through what it takes to get 36.
36?
Yeah, this episode 36. Just trying to figure out how we got here.
Fim, I don't think it has anything to do with math.
Oh, well, I guess we're here, and that's all that matters.
True. So now that Fim's theory crafting is out of the way, welcome to the Twisted Nether Blogcast. This is episode 36, as you may have deduced, being recorded on February 23rd, 2009.
We're Fim and Bree, or is that Bree and Fim?
I'm Bree. He's Fim.
True, true. This week on TNB, we have some of the usual, with a couple of pink pigtails thrown in.
Yes, Larissa from the Pink Pigtail Inn joins me for a one-on-one interview, throwing it all on the line.
I just wish I could have been there. We also have a couple of topics, and I think, finally, you're going to hear the 2008 Twisted Moments.
It's only March.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So stay tuned, or is it iTunes? We'll be back with the news.
Hi, this is Lady Jess from LadyJess.com, and this is my twisted moment of 2008. This one time at Kara, my paladin tank let me put him on follow. And mind you, he's a dwarf, and this explains a lot of issues I have with little dwarves. Unknowing to me, he proceeded to keep leaping off of the ledge right before Curator's Room until he hit something that took me off follow, and I came back to the screen and found myself at half health with a dwarf pally laughing hysterically. I have yet to get revenge for that.
Do you want to know the best way to catch a tauren? This is Cerisa from DestructiveReach.com with my twisted moment of 2008. I remember one late evening of arena matches. As usual, I was losing, although I seemed to be losing even more badly than normal. I persisted and knocked over my 10 matches and settled down to a hard-earned brew in a local inn when I noticed something sticking out of my back. What was it? A fishing pole. Seth's graphite fishing pole. Guaranteed to lure a tauren to you every time. Not much good for killing them, though. Okay, hopefully that's a bit better. Thanks, bye.
Hi, this is Sia from Bananashoulders.com, and it's time for the Twisted News.
Obey, or be eliminated.
Welcome to the news. You made it through the first step. Now
you're now in the inner chamber.
Yes. I've been accepted.
Watch out for the booby traps. Yeah.
Okay, we got a couple things that have been going on.
Yeah.
Obviously most of it's about 3.1.
Yeah.
Because that's all that's really going on. So a few of the things we're gonna talk about. We'll talk about we had some details on mana regen in 3.1. The 3.1 PTR forums are up. Yay.
Yep.
There's going to be no attunement for Luar, which is good.
That's good to know.
We'll talk about character copying for the PTR and the arena tournament. So what do we
get? Yeah.
What do we want to start with?
You dive in first.
Yeah, mana regen. Like, mana regen, I think, is the biggest thing here. A lot of controversy on the mana regen.
Yeah, I mean, what Ghostcrawler did was outline some actual numbers as to how it's going to be nerfed and how it's going to change.
Yes.
With 3.1. He's talking about how the base mana regen that you have outside of the 5-second roll is going to be reduced by 40%. Mm-hmm. So the number that you see now, think about, it's going to be almost halved. and they're doing changes to talents and to spells that increase your casting, your mana regen while you're in the 5 second rule, to make sure so it doesn't diminish the MP5 inside the 5 second rule while you're casting.
Yep.
There will be a nerf outside of the 5 second rule.
Yeah.
So he gives some details on that.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things he did make sure he specified was that they're not reducing spirit by 40%. They're not reducing int by 40%.
No
stats will be reduced. What they're reducing is the constant that figures out how much mana you get back for your relative contributions of int and spirit. So, it's kind of confusing, but generally you won't lose spirit or lose int, just the mana regen out of combat.
Right. So the number then that you're going to look at, because the way that they're changing stuff, is your mana regen in the 5 second rule when you're casting, that's going to be the primary mana regen number now.
Yeah.
Because the one that's out of the 5 second rule is going to be diminished to the point that it may be a little bit more than your mana regen in the 5 second rule, but it's not going to be such a significant difference as you have now. On my priest, 1,000 MP5 outside of the 5 second and maybe 390 something in.
Yep.
So you're going to see, I'm going to see it maybe go down to 600, something like that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the biggest thing to remember is that generally, if your mana regeneration while casting, even the contribution of spirit, should remain relatively unchanged. Other than possibly Boomkin because of Innervate.
Right.
But your regeneration while not casting should go down by 40%. So like you said, if you had 1,000 out of combat, it should be 600 out of casting. That should be 600 out of casting. That's basically it. There's some other posts around that explain it, probably a little bit more, directly. But, general, that's the idea. I've seen a couple posts that kind of gone into some of the theory crafting. One of the mage blogs had one recently. I just lost what that was. But one of the mage blogs actually had a pretty good kind of theory crafting of the whole thing, showing you with the different talents and stuff that you get what it would be good. And that actually they're going to get quite a bit of an increase, mages, because they can actually get rid of some of a glyph and glyph a different thing because of it. So it's kind of cool.
Right.
Because of their arcane meditation, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah. So. It's going to be interesting to see. I know from a healer's perspective, what's going to happen with... I know that people have been talking about whether or not they should switch to MP5. I am going to be doing a wait and see. I have a lot of my gemming done with spirit currently, but I am not going to be switching out to MP5 yet, because spirit does do a great deal. It's a fantastic stat for me as a holy priest, and I'm not going to switch it out just for the MP5.
Yeah,
it increases
healing
a lot of my other talents. Exactly. I get bonus healing, and it increases a lot of my other talents.
Yep.
So it's a wait and see for each person. Mm-hmm. And, also with dual spec, it'll be interesting to see, like, if a lot of priests now are going to be taking, like, spirit tap.
Could be.
I'm not sure if that's gonna happen,
because that's one of the ones that actually is getting buffed.
That's getting buffed, and improved spirit tap is getting buffed too.
Anyway, I think that's enough on mana regen. Beaten it to death. I think that this will be okay. I know a lot of people are saying that Blizzard hates healers and whatever. That what they're seeing is that the healers right now that are, I guess, at the top of their game are not even worrying about mana at all. And that's where they're worried.
Not.
Yes, it is going to create hardships on healers who are not the top ones yet, or not doing as well. And it's just something, I guess, they're going to have to work on and adjust as they see, you know, how it causes problems. You know, hopefully there'll be something, you know, re-gemming for MP5 or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I'm not really too worried. I'm going to be honest with you. It's just an adjustment, but I think that we'll be fine. I'm going to be honest, I've said it before, that the mana regen right now is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, you really don't, it's not even something of concern. And it really has to be part of the game, because it was part of the game in BC. You had to worry about it.
Yeah.
And you're now worrying about it now. Yeah. So, it's not a major, oh my god, the world's ending. It's just, like, I just need to readjust and learn how to, remember how to mana, like, conserve my mana. And that's fine. And I enjoyed that game. So it's fine.
Maybe they should give us our pots back.
Yeah. Maybe we should be chain potting again. That'd be interesting.
Combat or something.
I don't think that's going to happen, but we can dream.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
But anyway.
I just like the strategy of that. Like thinking, okay, you know, I got to use this pot and then I've got this time limit. And then, you know, if this Friday's going to last a certain amount of time, I could get another one. Especially with the idea of having different types of pots. You know, if you know, there's also, you know, the special, like, trinket in a bottle pot that increases, like, your spell power insanely and whatever. That would be nice to be able to, like, kind of hit as, like, a proc and then get 2 minutes and then you get another one, you know? And you can't because it's a potion, so.
Yeah. Anyway. So it's the way of the dodo.
Oh, yeah. It's unfortunate. Yeah. So, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Okay.
But. So all this talk about 3.1, and it looks like 3.1 is going to hit next week.
Well, PTR.
Well, the PTR.
Yes.
But yes, that it's going to be playable.
Yes.
Because you can get on the PTR. And if you haven't yet, the character, the copying your tune over to the PTR was up and down. I think it's up again.
I don't know. It says that it's full. Last time I checked.
Oh, really?
That it's full and it's like 11 days or something like that. I don't know. Timing, I don't know. But I'm wondering if they just turned it off. That's like it. That's it down, quote unquote. I'm putting my fingers up in the air, but that doesn't help.
Yeah.
Nobody can see me.
Nobody can internet, see you do air quotes on the air.
Nobody on a podcast, no one can see you do air quotes. On the internet, no one knows who you are. No. So, I don't know. But the forums are up. The forums are definitely up. And supposedly the Blues have been kind of combining up all of the new information and putting them back up on the PTR forums. All the changes to the classes and stuff have been going up in there.
Yeah. And there was a Blue post that came out maybe a couple hours ago. This is, you know, Sunday. That saying that we should be seeing 3.1 on the PTR next week, because people were expecting it this weekend.
Yeah, and they don't work this weekend.
No, but I did. Were you able to transfer your tune over?
I didn't do it because I did not have my authenticator with me when it was available.
Fail. So you see, this is why you carry it with you on a keychain.
It's okay, I have it on a lanyard.
Whatever.
Anyway,
didn't do you any good at work.
I don't log in at work.
You don't have to log in at work. You just have to log into the website
in the work. No, I don't know. I didn't do it. Okay, I tried to, but it said no. So no, I didn't transfer. But everyone who transferred, they said they canceled all those anyway. So,
oh, did they?
The ones that, like, when we were discussing this during the week last week, there was a blue post afterward that says they were going to, they didn't intend to turn it on. And that they're going to delete all the characters transferred and reset everything. So, yeah. Nice. So, we'll see.
I lost it then.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Such is life.
Yeah. Anyway. Arenas, you're
saying? Yeah. No attunement for Ulduar. That's kind of not much in the way of news, but they said there won't be any attunement. You could just walk right in. No problem.
That'd be good.
I guess you have to be 80. Other than that, whatever. And then, yeah, I guess the arena, the next, I don't know what number this is, arena tournament has started. This is where you, like, create a new character, you know, a clean character, I think, right? On the arena servers, something to that effect. And then you kind of pit yourself in, and there's some number of matches, like 200? And you get a pet or something. Do you remember?
You're talking to the wrong girl.
I don't know. You didn't read this? Come on. There was something. No. Everybody was talking about
it. I have no interest whatsoever.
I don't either, but it was news. Got to keep up with the news.
Yeah, I understand, but All I know is it's happening.
Okay.
Look, I'm on the official site. 2009 Arena Tournament is happening.
Yay.
Create fully customizable level 80 characters. Earn exclusive rewards like an armored Murloc
That's
pet,
it.
A Vanquisher's title.
That's it.
And fight for fame and fortune.
The armored Murloc pet. That's what you see.
That's
we
what
figured it
is.
Out right here with you listening. Okay, no one's listening. That's what it is. The armored Murloc pet. There's a lot of people excited. Well, at least.
Oh, you know what? I remember Nib.
See?
Nibuka
told you.
Was,
people were talking about it. And I guess you could also get it if you like wrote some kind of essay or something. I don't know. But anyway, so that's, I think it's like 200 arena tournament matches. You could get that. So if you want it, I mean, I don't know if can you, I guess you could still sign up for the arena tournament and, compete. Everybody's competing and it should be cool.
Uh-huh.
Or something like that.
Okay.
We don't know anything about that. We're just talking out of our butts. Don't worry about it.
Basically.
Yeah. So. That's all the news I got. I don't know about you.
So then what's your guild been up to?
My guild, what have I been up to? I don't know. I've been up to no good, as usual. The guild, we have been having issues getting 25-ish people together to run, you know, OS and Nax and Malagos, et cetera, et cetera. So we actually figured out, we sat down, or got on vent, already sitting down, and kind of split up the raiders into two groups of 10, because we have a lot of tanks and we have a decent number of healers and such. So we ended up with two warrior tanks in each group, because all we have are warrior tanks. And one group actually had three healers, one ended up with two. They originally were planned with three, but one of the healers that we had expected to show up never came. Then the rest were DPS. And we both did pretty well. The first group had the three healers, so it took us a little longer. We had some issues with Grobulus. If you read my blog, you'll see all about that. But so we got through for the first 2 days. We got through all the four wings, and then we did the last two like a couple days later. The second group did the whole thing in the 2 days, so they had two healers. But it worked out pretty well. The only one they had an issue with was Gluth, really, because of the kiting. We had the person that always kites when we do the 10-man previously, and they didn't have him, so they didn't know really what to do. So they figured it out. So it worked out pretty well. They couldn't have one of their healers kiting since they only had two. We have one of our healers kiting usually, so.
You have one of your healers kiting?
Well, we have three healers. He's a paladin. He's our pally, so. He kites him around. He knows what to do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a pally. You know, he can get hit. And heal himself and stuff. You know, they don't die.
Yeah.
They're,
oh, okay.
Yeah, they're OP. It's okay. We understand. So, anyway, what else is going on? I still don't have a good weapon for my druid. I still have this little blue one. So, Kel'Thuzad did not drop either his dagger nor his mace for me.
Because he hates you.
He did drop his gun for nobody.
Nice.
Because the hunter wasn't there. So I still need a weapon. It would be nice if they put one in with, like, for emblems or something, but I didn't see one. We're still looking for a resto shaman. If anyone knows of a resto shaman and wants
shaman,
don't squeeze the shaman.
Totems.
Anyway, so yeah, we need shaman. We don't have any shaman that are resto.
I've been affected by the shaman fever.
Seriously.
I'm not even joking.
Shaman fever. We still need to kind of bulk up, obviously, since we're doing two 10s instead of 25. We can't really get a 25-man raid going with 25 people. So, and unfortunately, right. If you have 25 people, then you can go into 25-man Nax and whatever and not need Nax gear. You know, you could go in with all heroic gear.
Right.
And you'd do fine. The problem is, when you try to do 20-man Nax 25. That, then you need Nax gear. Nax 10 gear.
Right.
So, that's really, because we have just too many of the people weren't going to the single 10 man that we had, because there's only 10. So, with splitting up like this, we'll get those people geared up and get them up to speed, hopefully, and hopefully be able to get, then on this Tuesday, we're going to try another 25 and see what happens. So,
well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
I hope it happens. Yeah,
I hope it do well. I just want to get back to Max and have him drop the hand weapon for me.
Mm-hmm.
That would be good.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I hear you. Yeah. That's like, what is it? Wraith Strike
or something like that?
Yeah, Wraith Strike.
Wraith Strike, yeah. That's supposedly like the best weapon for Boomkins.
For Boomkins.
Boomkite. Big Boom Kindred. Boomkind.
Yeah.
Boomkind. So what you guys been doing? I logged in, were doing a 25. I saw it.
Yeah.
I was witness.
We were doing a 25. it was awesome. We did a 25. We didn't have enough. I think we didn't have enough DPS for Thaddeus because he kept enraging on us. Yep. So what we did was we cleared both the military and construct wings till the last boss on each end. So we still have Thaddeus and four horsemen and Saffron and Kel'Thuzad left.
Yeah.
But we're doing that tomorrow.
Cool.
Hopefully, crossing fingers, it will be our first clear on the 25-man version.
Awesome.
And so it was really cool because I finally can say I can tank Resuvius. And I have gotten it down. I can tank him. Bring him on. So that made me happy because we wiped many a time the week before because I was learning how to tank it and do all these macros and selecting the student. And
do you find there's issues with holding on or getting the mind control if you don't have like hit, or you do have some hit gear or something you stick on?
No, I don't have hit gear.
Okay.
I don't have any hit gear. No, the only issue with him breaking early is you really have to be very mindful of the 20-yard.
Yep.
The 20-yard range. It's happened twice now because we tend to start the mind control when Resuvius is padding back in that circle, and we'll get the students, but we can't really move beyond where they're standing because the range is 20 yards. So we have to wait until Resuvius is coming towards us, and then our other priest, Adam, will pick him up, and then I'll pick him up, and we'll start alternating that way. So it really works out. Both of us are healing priests. Uh-huh. He's disc, and I'm holy, and we do not have hit. So it can be done without hit. You just have to be very aware of what's going on.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and we actually, for the today, we decided, we tried to go and do Malagos, I think, Friday night, and it was a very good training, training session.
It's a pain.
we kept getting to phase three all the time, but we were just having major issues with the stupid dragons.
Yeah.
But tonight, I'm happy to say we went back, and after a few wipes, we went back, and we finally got down the rhythm on the third phase, so we were able to get him down.
Nice.
And I got a neck.
Yay!
Got a pretty neck. So, yeah. So, all I need is, I need to go into Oculus, which gives me hives, because I don't want to go in there.
No, me either.
But I need to do Oculus, and I need to do Halls of Stone. Finish those in Heroic, and I can get my title.
Woo. I need Oculus. That's all I need now. And no one wants to ever go.
I'll need to drag somebody with me because I want my title.
Yeah.
I've never, you know, I was like thinking about it. I'm going to be posting about it on my blog because, you know, I've never seen in any versions of the game, vanilla or BC, all the content before.
Yeah.
Tonight was the first night I can say that I've seen everything that's available to the level 80 at end game.
Cool.
And that was pretty awesome.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, we did culling a strat today. And we actually got the timed event again, second time I've done it, which is pretty cool. We fought him, I think we had 2 minutes when we got to him. And we saw it hit 1 minute when he was 50%. And then we're like, oh, and we got him. I don't know how much time we had left. Like, I don't know how many seconds. It had to be like within the 5 seconds or something. We're just like, hey, hit him. And we did it. That was pretty cool. I didn't roll on the Drake again because I'm not going to use it. So I let everybody else do it. It's just the excitement of being able to get there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm really, and this is when I'm actually really grateful for the whole achievement system. Mm. Because you can go back to content that can be very easy for you because heroics are not hard anymore.
Yep.
And it really gives you an added incentive to try and do them. Like, we did a Calling of Strat run and we were able to do the timed. And it was very cool to see the bronze Drake drop. And, you know, it's just fun. And talking about achievements, today we went back into OS 10 and we did the less is more.
Yeah,
this
cool.
time we paid attention.
Yeah, how many people you needed?
Yeah, we're like double checking. It's like, okay, less than what?
Yeah.
9? Okay, 8.
Yes.
Cut it off at
that
8.
That one's actually harder than the 25-man one, the one you need to less than 21. The less is more for 10 is a lot harder because, you know, you don't have the numbers anymore. You know, so it makes it a lot more difficult.
So. Yeah, we've done it with OS 25 with 19,
yeah.
Except was that I think we had 21 when we killed the first Drake, so none of us got the achievement.
Yeah.
So.
You had to go back in there.
We went back.
Yeah.
We went back and we were all a bunch of freaking illiterates. We couldn't read correctly.
You tried.
One
of the achievements that we're having big troubles with is actually in Utgard Pinnacle. First boss. Trying to get that stupid Hulk to sit over the abomination to sit in the right place. Cause every time we like get him to the right, you know, we get him down pretty low in health and we get him over there. And like right as the sword's coming down, he boots the tank across the room and we wipe because the healer can't heal the tank anymore. We're like, ah. So we always like try once and then we just say, forget it. So,
yeah.
Someday we'll get it. It's just like we try every time, and every time we think, okay, we can do it. I mean, supposedly, the one way that one person's seen it done is that with a Death Knight, you just, when the time comes, you just pull the guy to the right place, like right at the end there, and then it drops down on him. But, you know, I don't know. Oh, well.
I guess we will continue to strive. Oh, and, My little children are growing up quickly.
Oh, yes?
Yes. I'm up to 46.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Got 6 levels today.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I brought my my mage into a couple heroics in Burning Crusade in the Outlands. Because I had the key for Ramparts and Furnace.
Yeah.
So he's only 65. So obviously I wasn't helping any in this run at all. I think I had like 40 DPS.
Really?
But it was like 380s in me. So they were just wiping through, you know, just flying through everything. So I got some gear that I can't use because it's level 70. It's decent gear, but it's gear I can't use. And I got I got the achievements. It doesn't matter, but, and then, I got, a little bit of experience, a decent amount, you know, not huge amount. Like if they were level 70s, it would have been a lot more, but, it was fun. I still have no idea how to play him. I mean, just this buttons are just everywhere. I tried to take my rogue first and, went to Shadow Labs and I respect to the mutilate spec. I have no idea what I was doing. Not at all. I had like 400 DPS, I think, or something like that. I don't know. Better than my mage, but she was 70. But anyway, I think we got to move on. Unless you have something else.
I'm just excited about my little chamois.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I went
elemental
today.
Is fun.
And it was
like
fun.
Elemental.
Lots of fun.
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying the totems.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to her at 80. Yeah. So on next, we have Larissa.
Yes. Bree interviews Larissa from Pink Pigtail Inn.
It was awesome.
Yes. Listen.
Listen and enjoy.
Hey, Finn and Bree, this is Fickle from ForTheHorde.wordpress.com. I apologize for the late entry. I've been a little delinquent in listening to my podcast, so I'm all caught up now. But I'm just calling to give you my most memorable moment of 2008, and that would have to be when I dinged 60, and I was going to go through the dark portal with my co-blogger Silas, and he decided he was going to have a little fun with me, and we also had another shaman with us who doesn't play with us anymore. But anyway, so both of these two are in on it, and they convinced me, and I don't know how, probably because I'm gullible and a noob, but they convinced me that I needed to attack the pit boss just outside the dark portal. So there goes, you know, little squishy belf mage Fickle, and he ran and attacked the pit boss and proceeded to get smushed into a little mage splat on the ground. So yeah, that was my excellent moment, and when Silas hears this, he's probably going to have a good chuckle, but he doesn't let me forget it. And anyway, great shows, guys. I've been listening to a whole bunch of them all at once, and they've been keeping me laughing. So anyway, keep up the great work. Talk to you later. Bye.
This is Hydra from Almost Evil, and this is my twisted moment. It's when I killed myself, my tank, and my mage in a big splat. I was giving my tank his first ride and the mage on my traveling tundra mammoth around Dalaran. After a few circles, we went into the sewers, and I launched us out of the pipe. I was telling them how, because the mammoth was a vehicle, the mammoth would take all the fall damage. And so my tank not believing me, he took off all his gear. Well, apparently there's floating islands with level 80 mobs because we landed on one of them. Seeing the mobs, my tank put back on his gear, being a good tank, and before we could even count the number of mobs, there was a knockback that sent all three of us flying to our deaths by ground. I will always laugh at the image of the three of us falling to our death, the tank cussing because he put his gear back on and so got the durability damage. And from then he told us that the next time he would just let the squishies die.
Hi, I'm Lanyon from Moonfire. Next up, Blogger of the Week.
Haldor of the Rocky Cliffs, grant me your strength!
So our twisted blog of the week is Larissa from the Pigtail Inn. So welcome, Larissa.
Thank you.
Larissa's main is a gnome mage and lives on the Stormrage server EU. She mainly writes about her daily life in Azeroth, raiding, motivation, mage stuff, and general thoughts about the WoW community. So we welcome you, Larissa, across the Atlantic, currently in Sweden, just down Malagos to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
So, it's about, what is it, like almost 12:30 there?
Yeah, it's 12:30 in the night, and Friday night, and this is normal playing time for me, actually. I go and play when my family's to bed, so it's perfect. I would probably be playing a little longer, an hour or more, so if I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, I'm sorry for cutting into the playtime.
No problem. We're down Malaga, so it's okay.
Yeah, so you just had your achieved the achievement for the 10 man on Malagos right before coming on the show.
Yeah. I've done it on 25 man a couple of times, but I haven't made it into the 10 man raids on off nights, so I was really glad when they asked if I could wanted to join.
That's awesome. So did you get anything?
No, it was some plate and a shield or something, but I don't think it drops much in 10 man that I want, actually. But it was an achievement, and I survived. That's the best thing. I survived on the dragon, and I'm always so happy when I survive in a new boss encounter. It really gives me a kick.
Yeah, that's how I felt last night when I was able to successfully tank Resuvius on my priest. I'm like, yes! We one-shot him, and I tanked him, and it didn't take me 5 freaking times to do it, so...
No, happy. Exactly, and the loot is pretty irrelevant at those times. It's a survival thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the other night we did Nax Thursday, and I survived on Hagen Dance. I've survived him on 10 man before, but this was the first time I survived the Hagen Dance on 25 man, and I was so happy. That was the best thing though doing the whole night, I survived. I'm a survivor. That's what I'm going for in the game.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, we have a friend of mine who's also a mage that she always died in during Hagen. And last week, on Tuesday, she survived for the first time. You would have thought that she that she killed Arthas or something, because it was like jumping up and down.
Yeah, but I can understand it completely, because it's so humiliating. It's not hard, but it is hard if you've got a lot of lag and if you're not the most perfectly easily moving person. I'm not so skilled at moving things, but anyway, it's when you really get it and you succeed, it's a very nice feeling. Even though it's supposed not to be too hard, but it's nice anyway.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. You get your success where you find it.
Yeah.
So, talking about success, you have a successful blog.
You think so?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And we should talk about said blog. And so, I'm going to ask our first primer questions, which we ask everybody, but we'll start there. When did you start blogging?
I started blogging a year ago, or a little bit more. It was 2nd of February last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never written a blog before. I hardly knew what a blog was, actually.
So then what inspired you to start?
As in most cases, it was another blog. I stumbled up on a Swedish blog, actually. It was a blog that I found through... I was reading a forum. Someone had written a very well-written post in some World of Warcraft forum, a Swedish one, and he had a link to something. I didn't know quite what. I followed it, and it turned out to be a blog. Uh-huh. So I read a few posts by him, and they were really cool. They were about how to do things. He was more like, you know, the Matica sort of person who's sharing knowledge, and he was telling about how to make the guilds better, or how to earn gold, and how to sort your bags, or how to what add-ons to have, and start such things in a very nice way. But I was sort of inspired. It seemed easy, and I checked out the tool that he used, and then I tried it myself. Well, if he can, maybe I can. And I had no idea what blogging was about or why I was starting to blog. I just did it.
So then you, how has it evolved in your mind since then? I mean, did you have a clear focus of what you wanted to write about, or you just picked it up and say, yeah, whatever, I'll start writing about my mage?
I definitely didn't have any focus, and I still don't.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I just started. To me, it was much about exploring my own relation to the game. Mm-hmm. Why I'm still doing that by blogging. I'm trying to understand myself. I'm trying to understand the game. It helps me to see the game. But actually, when I started a blog, I think it was also about understanding the blogging as a medium. Mm-hmm. It's pretty new to me. I've been working for a long time professionally writing. I'm a journalist from the beginning. But blogs, they arrived after I was born. I mean, they are pretty new stuff, and I wasn't very familiar with this medium, how it worked, and I was a bit curious, so I wanted to know more about it, and I've learned it's been a long learning curve, just like well, the Warcraft has been, and that's why it's been a lot of work. I mean, I started in a tool that was awful. I didn't know that. It was a Swedish strange tool with no possibilities at all, and it was really awful. And I wrote in Swedish because that was natural to me. And then after a few months, I realized how lonely it was. It was me and that other blogger, and we commented on each other's blogs, but you missed the whole networking thing. It was too isolated. So I had a long learning curve. I mean, then I learned to, I translated my whole blog, and then I moved my whole blog after a few months to another platform, to my new, to the Pink Pigtailin, and I moved in there in May or June or something, I think. But, it's been a long road, a long journey to where I am now, really. I've been struggling a lot, I've been working a lot, and I've had a lot of fun all the way.
Yep, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, how is, for somebody who has such a background in what we would term professional writing, because you're a journalist, so how is that, how have you felt the, I may rephrase it, but how are you enjoying blogging? Are you enjoying it, or is it something that you just keep going at it because you want to explore that?
Oh, I enjoy it. I do this for pleasure. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference to writing professionally. When you've written professionally for such a long time as I have, you sort of lose a bit of your lust for writing. It becomes polished, almost mechanical, very efficient, but rather boring. And through blogging, I do it for fun. I do it without any special purpose. I don't have any demands on myself or anyone else. I don't have to get a big audience. I don't have to make a living out of it and catch something. I do it just because I have fun. And I've found my way back to writing this way, actually, to write for fun again. Now, writing in English is pretty special, since it's not my native tongue, and I had a lot of problems in the beginning to cope with that I don't write perfect. Mm-hmm. I have to live with that. I have some grammatical errors and spelling errors, and the nuances aren't really always what I would want them to be, but it's good enough. And I think I learn a lot of English as well, so that's a good thing too. But I write for pleasure, and if the day will come that when I don't think it's fun anymore, and then I stop. It's a day-to-day project, always, actually. It is.
Well, that's great. So the name of your blog is an obvious, I assume, is an obvious reference to your gnome mage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the pink pigtails, she has them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, you have seen the, I have a few screenshots on.
Yeah,
you see them in the top of the blog
if
you don't only read the RSS. Yeah.
So I wonder if she's actually had a haircut and a dye job and you just haven't told us. So she's still pink.
Yeah, she's still pink. I wouldn't dream of cutting her hair. I haven't got. I'm a little bit. I'm getting more and more caught into the achievement stuff, but
uh-huh.
I haven't had a haircut yet, and I won't have it.
So
she's like Simpson in the Bible. Her strength is in her hair.
So why don't you just like you could do it that nobody would ever know? You know that you cut the hair, and then you switch it back.
Oh, but you will see it. You can just check her in the armory and you'll see the achievement. There's no hiding anymore, you know. Everything is official in the game nowadays.
Oh, this is true. This is true. I guess you can't hide that. You can't hide that dirty little secret that you changed her haircut without everybody knowing.
No.
So, but, you know, going back real quick to like how you were talking about that blogging has helped you, I assume, like find your voice again as a writer.
Yeah.
It's something that I wrote this question and not knowing that you were a journalist, it struck me because I've found your posts to be very insightful. Your posts have been, always had this depth to them. Especially when you start talking about specific topics, like, we were talking about the one that you wrote about the, sandcastles the other week, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the metaphors are fantastic and you have all this depth behind it. So, I was just wondering, and you were saying that you hadn't intentionally sought to write that, but it seems to me that for me, just letting you know, that's your niche. Because it's always from this great psychological and social perspective, these posts that try to bridge what we consider the game and to associate them with the world at large and our experiences as human beings at large. So I just want to tell you that I really like that and that's awesome. And, I read them for that. I think it's amazing. So.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I just write what I see. You see, mm-hmm. I think that you should, you should write about things that you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a journalist, if you're working for a newspaper or something, then you do investigations and you write about other stuff that you find out. But mm-hmm. when you're writing, I think a blog is a pretty personal thing, and I think they are often better if you write about things that you know about. You know, that's a normal advice about if you're going to write a novel, don't write about things that you know. And I don't know much about theory crafting. I'm a terrible theory crafter. I just rely on what I read on other places, but I'm not particularly interested or talented, and I'm really not a super mage. I can't give people advice about raid strategies or something. They can find much better at WoWWiki or Boss Killers or whatever. So the only thing I can write about is my own experiences. It's those thoughts that come into my head. I'm not basing my posts on some kind of theory. Oh, right. I've read this great psychological or sociological theories. Or, I mean, like Gevlin at Greedy Goblin, he always have those professor here and a researcher there, or this theory here about ape subroutines there. And I don't do those kind of investigations. No. I just write about what I see and what's it like to be me in the game. And sometimes other people will recognize themselves in it, and that's fine. And sometimes they think I'm a freak, and that's fine too.
So when you get set to, because I know Matt from World of Maticus, he actually, and several other bloggers, they plan their posts out, and they'll do outlines, and they'll write it in advance and the whole bit. And personally, I just write like, oh hey, I need a post, and I start writing, and that's pretty much how it comes out. But what's your process? Do you plan them out, or do you just write them when the idea comes to you?
I just write them when the idea comes. Really, I really do. Sometimes I've had several posts pre-written. Sometimes I don't. It varies and it varies with inspiration, sort of. But I really write them out. Write them as they come. And sometimes they sort of grow in the head. I get a thought, and it's planted, it's a seed, and then it connects to something else, and then suddenly it's sort of born, it clicks into my head. But it's not like I'm planning a big thing. No, it's not. But I think the hardest thing, the biggest part when you're writing a blog post, it's the same thing if you're writing an article, actually, as a journalist, is the beginning. The beginning and the first half, maybe, or first third of it, if you get that right, the rest will write itself, really. It's it's important to get a good beginning.
Yeah. So what's one thing you wish that you would see more bloggers do?
I think more bloggers should take better care of their audience, really. Interact with their readers more. I don't comment on every single comment, but on most commenters will get a reply from me. The commenters, they deserve to be seen, recognized. Yeah. If you do that, you will create something. You will get Maticus. He actually linked a little while ago to an excellent blog post. It was from a blog about blogging, and that blog post was about that you should see your audience like a tribe and treat them like that, and I thought it was excellent. That's the way I feel about my inn. It's not a coincidence or a hazard that I call my place an inn. It's a metaphor that it's really what I want it to be. I thought long and hard when this was in the beginning, after a couple of months, I was thinking, hey, what is a blog? What is a blog? What do I want my blog to be? And then, as always, when I think this way, trying to get my thoughts out, I got an image into my head. It's like a pub. I realize it's like a pub. I want it to be that way. I want to have regular customers, guests, people coming in, hanging around, relaxing. This should be a spot where you can go after you've been playing. You want to relax. You want to hang out. You want to talk to friends. You want to not be too ambitious. You should be able to be yourself, sort of, like a good pub. And
and
beer and everything. Nice company. And that's, I think, I don't say that everyone should be an inn, but I think you should think more about, many bloggers don't think enough about the commenters and the visitors. And if you, instead of thinking about how can I attract more readers and stuff, you should care about the few you have. If you have two or three readers, start with them. Love them, embrace them, treat them, and if they say thank you for this awesome post and nothing more, well, thank them for this thank you. They bothered to write a thank you, and that's great. It's a good start. And this is how I've been working, and I mean, in the beginning I had three, four readers, guildies, people from my guild and nothing more. And now I think, I mean, I'm not like Maticus, but I've got 250 subscribers. It's amazing. And I think the key to that is that I've cared about the visitors.
Excellent. Excellent advice. I should take more of it. on my old site. I feel terrible because I don't take care of my poor readers as often as I should. So to all of you who read my blog, I'm sorry. I'm trying to be better, but it's excellent advice. So let's talk a little bit about the other part outside of the blogging, but what you're blogging about, which is WoW. So how long have you been playing?
2 years. Or a little more. I'm a TBC baby. I started to play in, I think it was in the end of January 2007. It was my sister who tricked me into this.
Your sister?
Yeah, my little sister. And she said that you should really try this. Hey, I don't have time. I said, it's not possible. I have no time whatsoever for such a thing. And I know it will eat me. But she said, there's always time for WoW. There's always time for WoW. Okay, you should try this with your daughter, she said. And so I bought the game, and the idea was that this would be something I would have in common with my oldest daughter. We would play both. She started a druid, and I started another character, a paladin, and we played. But she lost interest pretty soon, and my sister lost interest. It was because of my sister that I rolled an alliance tune and at a realm, the Kul'Thiras realm in EU, because of my sister. And then she lost interest and quit the game, and my daughter quit, but I'm stuck. And I'm still here, still playing. That's Stormreach nowadays, though.
Wow, so are you the only one in your family that's playing right now?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm the only one I know. I don't have any real life friends or anything. I'm really odd.
No, I doubt that. But so have you were talking about that you rolled first a paladin. So after you decided that you realized that everyone abandoned you, poor Larissa, everyone left you hanging. What caused you to decide to roll a mage?
Actually, I think I rolled the mage before they deserted me. I deserted my paladin when she was level 13, the poor girl. And the reason why I deserted her so quickly was that I thought she had a strange disease. She had a little red man on her, and I couldn't get rid of it. I thought she had got a disease. I didn't understand it. And she died so easily in Elvin Forest. All those evil, defiant people, they just looked at her and she died all the time. And the idea about repairing hadn't occurred to me. I didn't know. This was first computer game ever, my first MMO ever. I had no idea about anything. So she died. And I thought she had this disease from those evil, evil, defiant people. They had infected her. and there was no way of getting her well again.
She needs a clinic.
Yeah, and besides, I actually didn't like her. I know some human paladin people, they will hate me now, but I thought she looked ugly, and I still do. Those human females, they are quite big and clumsy and, you know, big breasts and long legs, and I don't look like that, and I couldn't identify with her at all. Uh-huh. And she also, the moves, they're not good looking. She did those strange slow pirouettes. It looked stupid with a big hammer in her head and in her hand. A hammer? I mean, I thought I was supposed to rolling a sort of knight, you know, a defender or something. And she's running around with a hammer, this mace. Ugh. It doesn't look nice. And then above all those strange seals and judgments, and it was so complicated. I didn't mm-hmm. understand the paladin at all, and I still don't. I can't understand how anyone can play a paladin. So I deserted her. I deserted her, and I rode the mage, and that was much easier actually, and it suited me well. And somewhere during this journey, I learned to repair. Thank God. You need that, so, if you're a mage. It's a lot of repairing, a lot of dying.
So let me. How far into WoW? Like how high were you before your sister decided to abandon you? Because if you're by yourself, I'm just wondering, because when I started playing, my brother was the one that brought me in, but I had my husband was playing with me. I had my brother playing for a long time, and I was able to learn about the game. It was my first MMO as well, so I was able to learn from the game from him. But like, if she left really early on, did you get that kind of information from her, or did you have to go outside of the game to find
No, I've learned everything by myself, actually. Even before she stopped playing. Yeah, even before she stopped playing, she wasn't much online or at other times than me and so on. So, no. Thankfully enough, I mean, I am a journalist, so I'm pretty good at finding information and scrolling mm-hmm. information, and that helped me. But yeah, I've read a lot. I've really read a lot, and I've learned a lot, and and I've done this, what do you say, sort of career through different sort of guilds, from a worst noob guild you could ever think of. A smallish, strange little guild that was my first one. To bigger and bigger. Then I started to raid, and now I'm in a pretty serious and advanced guild with awesome players who are great theorycrafters and great players overall. I'm glad they put up with me, but I've learned a lot from my co-players as well. But much from reading, both ways.
So when did you know that you got hooked? Because I would think that after, if your initial plan fell to the wayside, that your daughter lost interest and stuff. So what kept you going?
I don't know. I guess it's leveling, you know. It's catching. Nowadays, leveling isn't the same thing, but when you level your first character, you get the bug. You know, the little ding. Oh, you complete the quest and you see the XP and you see the bar and you go good and train, and it's exciting.
One it really more bubble. Is.
What spell will I get this time? Oh, teleport!
You
amazing.
Know, they do it on purpose, obviously, because you know you have the XP bar, and it's like the little bar etching closer to the end, so that it completes, and then you go ding. So then you keep staring at it, right? You go do quests, and you get more XP, and then it keeps etching closer to the end, and then you know it starts filling up the bubbles, and you're like, oh no, I only need 6 more bubbles, and then your eyes are hurting because you can't, you need to go to bed, but you're gonna stay up because you're only 6 bubbles away. And you keep pushing and pushing, and then you ding,
absolutely.
And then it's like, oh my god, this looks fantastic, and then you got to start all over again.
Yeah. I think that's enough when you're a new player. Now, leveling hasn't got the same attraction to me at all. I'm currently, I am beside the raiding, I'm leveling an alt. I got a rogue. She's level 72, but I really don't like to play her much alone. I think it's lonely. It's not the same thing. I'm hooked to group playing. I like raiding. I got the raiding bug. That's what I like. Or fireman instances. That's fine if they're hard enough. I want to fight. I want to struggle. And I want some challenges. And I want people around me. That's what keeps me hooked nowadays. But when I was leveling Rarissa, that wasn't so much in focus. In my first little guild, we had one instance a week. Every Sunday, yeah, I mean, we were about 10 people in this guild or something, and every Sunday evening, we did one fireman instance. This week, it will be Stratholme, someone could say, or this week, it will be Scarlet Monastery. Okay, I hope my tune is in the right, at the right level. And we didn't have a tank and a healer, so I don't know. Sometimes we could make an instance and there were four hunters and me. I don't know how we made it, actually.
But wow.
We were so noobish, and we were, but it was the right thing for me when I was first introduced to the game. It was fun. But it's been a long journey. It really has.
Well, I can recommend to you because I don't like leveling by myself either. Like, I can level very quickly by myself if I wanted to, but I get lonely, you know, like you were saying. So I've actually am leveling my chamois and the lock. I'm doing the recruit a friend thing. I'm dual boxing. And it actually, you know, I think it's just the psychology of that there's another toon dragging behind you. And, like, you see another person, another avatar there, and, like, I know it's me. I know mentally that I'm the one behind both toons, but I don't feel alone. So I don't mind getting on them and leveling them. Does that make sense? It's sad.
It makes sense. Absolutely. Do you know something? I've always used pets. I mean, my non-combat pets to feel less lonely. So, I mean, Snowshoe Rabbit, he has kept me from feeling lonely.
So talking about your mage, now you've been, she's obviously been with you for a long time now. You're raiding with her. You obviously are doing to the end, which is Malagos at this point. What are you raiding as right now?
What I'm raiding as? I don't quite follow. I'm raiding as a mage, yeah?
Arcane.
Currently,
yeah.
I'm arcane, and I mean, if I was a hybrid, I could. there would be more to think about. But yeah, I'm raiding DPS, and we're raiding now. We have cleared all the content, yeah, and we're. I mean, Nax is going really quickly. We did Nax 25 man Thursday this week, and we did all bosses except the last two ones, and we could have done them too, but we saved them. And we didn't have one single wipe on the bosses. They all one-shot it, and it goes so quick, everything. Then Malagos is on farm 2. last week we only had Malagos left one evening, and then we said, okay, let's go Malagos. First try, we did it to 3%, and the next try, we had him down. Second try. So, raiding evening is over after 30 minutes. And that's kind of disappointing. I mean, it was my raiding night. I wanted to raid. There's nothing to raid. it's really sad, but now we're going, we have done, Sartharion plus two drakes, dragons. I wasn't there that time. I only raid two times a week, and we have three raiding nights, and I missed it, but, I guess, hopefully I will do it with two dragons, or maybe we'll try it with three dragons. It's very possible, because, we got too much time on our hands with three raiding nights a week, and we do Nax more or less everything in one night. We need to have some difficulties to fill our raids.
Right. So then, I guess at this point you're looking forward to Ulduar very intently.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm a little bit scared of those vehicles.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm right there with you. I'm not sure if, like, I was telling Finn in the last show. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I want to have to rely on a vehicle to get something done. You know, I mean, it's one thing to like, get to one point A to point B, but I wouldn't want to do a boss fight in a vehicle. I mean, I didn't get to 80 in a vehicle. I don't feel comfortable in that sense, so we'll see how it plays
exactly.
out.
No, exactly. I mean, it's a new game, and I'm not used to play that kind of games. If you're an experienced gamer and you have played many different kinds of games, you're probably pretty comfortable with vehicles. But for me, I mean, my learning curve in those 2 years of WoW has been enormous. I started from nothing. When I first turned on the game, I felt seasick because I wasn't used to the idea of having controlling a character and moving it in directions in a world. It was, everything was new. But slowly I've learned. I'm not really a brilliant player, but I'm okay, I guess. But with a vehicle, it's starting all over from the beginning. Yeah. I'm doing some vehicles in Wintergrasp, and I think it's great fun. I liked those siege weapon things, but being in the raid, that's a different thing. You have to perform. You have to not let the raid down and feel that you're a complete burden to everyone else, and that scares me a bit. But still, I mean, there won't be vehicles in every fight, what I've heard. It's not. It's only one fight, is it? So, it's not too bad.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see how it plays out when it comes out. So are you going to be transferring your mage over to the PTR to get a chance to see it?
This sounds like a good idea to train her, but train on the vehicles, but no. Pre-training, you know, come in there as a pro. Been there, done that. I'm a vehicle driver, you know. No, honestly, I won't. My gaming time is so limited. My family doesn't think that it's limited, but it's limited if you compare it to what I want to do in the game. I haven't got time for being on the PTR. So, I mean, I have my raiding nights, and then I have to support my raiding. Having Flask and stuff, it's not as bad as it used to be, honestly. Mm-hmm. You don't have to spend as much time to get gold for repairs and things for your consumables, but still, you have to keep up your gear and things, keep things enchanted and gemmed, and care about yourself, your character. And then the other time, I'd really like to get my rogue to at least 77, so she could fly, because she's a herbalist. So I don't have the time to mess around in the PTR, really not. I want to do things that count and aren't just wiped out when you've done it.
So how do you feel about the mage changes so far? We can talk about like since Lich, but maybe since the last patch and what are you excited about with 3.1? If there's anything specific that you're excited about with the new content?
I was really happy when they made Arcane possible to play again. They nerfed it so badly, and you couldn't raid with it towards the end of the Burning Crusade. We were used to go Arcane Blast nuking, and you couldn't do that anymore. And they said, we have to think about the mages. We're going to reconstruct Arcane Tree and do something about it. And they did. It became great fun again. And 1 week later, we only had it for 1 week, and then they nerfed it. The nerfed Arcane Barrage, I think, 1 week. We could have had a little bit more. But I'm not crying, really, because it's still good enough to raid with, in my opinion. I love to play Arcane, but I will see how it goes in Aldor. I've heard people saying that it doesn't scale enough and will probably have to go back fire again. I think it's ridiculous if all raiding mages are more or less forced to play fire, deep fire. No. Only one spec. I mean, we don't can play much. Other hybrid classes, they can play tank and DPS and healer. Couldn't we at least be able to choose between three DPS trees? I think it's not too much to ask for. I think Frost and Fire and Arcane should each have a good alternative for raiding.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how they make that. Currently, I think the Frost Mages aren't that happy. I don't think there are many Frost Mages raiding these days, really.
No. Well, I mean, I know there's a lot of Frost Fire.
Yeah, yeah, but like Frost Fire, they are Fire Mages. I used to play Frost Fire. I mean, Frost Fire Mage is a Fire Mage that uses the Frost Fire Bolt. It's not a Frost Mage with some fire. Yeah. It's a Fire Mage.
Yeah, yeah.
But about the new changes and stuff that's coming, to be really honest, I'm not completely initiated in everything about the 3.1. I know mana is going to be more interesting, mostly to healers, but also to mages. I read something on Critical QQ the other day, Euripides, and he doesn't seem too bothered, and he's usually right about stuff, so I don't worry too much currently. We'll see.
So I have a few questions from Lanyon from Moonfire that he sent me some questions for you, and so he wanted to know, what would it take for you to rule Horde? That's the first question.
It would take that my guild re-rolled Horde and my friends, because to me, WoW is really much about being in a social context. Mm-hmm. If I was going to roll Horde, starting completely from scratch, the way I started WoW 2 years ago, not knowing a single person, that would feel pretty hard. I mean, and I've invested quite a lot of time into my gear and stuff, of course, but it wouldn't be too bad if everyone else rolled Horde. Fine. It's not that important that I have to raid the highest instances. I think it could be fun to raid Hogger, I almost said, but you know. No, but you can do quite easy content and other kind of content if you do it with people you like to spend your time with awesome people. But there's no guarantee I would find those people on the Horde side. Well, maybe I would, but it would take a lot of time. I mean, you're investing quite a lot of time and you have relationships with a lot of people, and I wouldn't like to waste that. So if everyone else goes Horde, fine, I'll adapt, I'll go Horde as well.
Okay, and his next question is, if you could make your own custom achievement, what would it be?
I wrote one of those the other day. It was about, no, not seriously, but it was about how I managed to land in a tree. I was flying over Dalaran, and I lost my mount and fell down as in a parachute and landed in the trunk, on the top of a trunk in a tree, by mistake. And I thought, well, if that was an achievement, wouldn't it be fun? You have to get up into the top of the tree in Dalaran. By flying then, obviously. No, seriously, I think it would be nice, if I could dream, I would like to have some achievements that gave you a reward for doing good things in the game. I mean, people who are voluntarily leading guilds, leading raids, doing nice stuff to other people, unselfish behavior. I would like to see some achievements that would give rewards for that. It would be great. I would also like to see some kind of achievement for staying alive. Yeah, I mean,
I will survive.
There is an undying achievement, of course, in Nax that requires the whole raid to stay alive for every single boss encounter. And that's tough. That's really tough. And it puts a lot of pressure on you. If someone die, people won't get happy with you. But I would like to see some kind of individual achievement like that. Why not an achievement if you stay alive, you as a person manage to stay alive a whole Nax run without dying once, not even on trash mobs? Wouldn't that be a nice achievement? I mean, you have something to strive for yourself. Even if some noobish people will die on a boss, you can get your achievement because you're staying alive. You're a survivor.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Or and I would like to have an achievement for surviving the Hagen Dance.
An individual achievement for that, right?
I want to document it. I want to prove that I've done it.
You can dance.
Yeah.
That's what it would be called. So, and his last question was, do you have a favorite boss fight in the current content or in the old world content? Or the old content, I should say.
In the current content, I must say that I really like Malagos. It's an awesome fight with those different phases. And when I did it the first time and I fell down through space to this dragon, I was, it was, I all but screamed. It was really great, exciting. Yeah. Yeah, I really like that fight because it's got, it's complex. It's got many different things into it. Still, the most fun fights, now we have him on farm, and then it isn't as fun. That's how it works. So the most fun fight right now is a Sartharion with X amount of dragons. It's always fun when you have to bang your head into the wall and try and improve yourself, and you see those little progress. That's fun. So those are favorites right now. In the old game, I liked actually the bosses in Zulaman. Maybe it's because I haven't done it as much as Karazhan. But I really liked those last bosses there, like Hexlord, Sul'jin. It's also a long fight with different faces, and I think it's great fun. Or a Janalai, actually. Those eggs and running around. Quite complex, a lot of different moments, and everyone is needed really in the fight. You have to have different sorts of abilities, and everyone have to shine and do their job. It's not that it's kind of tank and spank fight. I like those. They are challenging, but they are fun. If you ask me about Karazhan, I loved Aaron. my mage colleague. I feel sorry for him. Standing there now, all alone, all deserted in Karazhan. No one's visiting him anymore.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
Leave me in peace. Okay. And we have one more question. Our last question of the night. So sad. But it's about food.
Yeah.
So it'll be good. So if you could be any food in the game, what would you be?
I think it's a rather funny question. Bee food? I mean,
yeah,
if
you can convert yourself into a piece of food, what would it be?
Okay. I think I will convert, maybe not myself, but my block. But I'll convert it to, and it's a pub, so you have to serve people both something to eat and something to drink.
Uh-huh.
And to drink, I think I will serve you a special Craig Stout Beatdown. That's a very special brew, not many people have drank it, and you get it from Dire Mall. If you do a tribute run, you can go there and buy it by a special vendor inside Dire Mall, and it increases your spirit, you see? You get your spirit! Okay, your intelligence will go down a bit, but...
And your screen will blur, but yeah. Hey, you'll be in high spirits.
Yeah, you'll be high spirits! It's smooth, it also says in the tooltip. But and to eat, I would like to be, and I would like to serve a delicious chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake.
I love those. They will, if you spend at least 5 seconds eating me, you will be very happy for 1 hour. I really like those. I love those chocolate cakes, not only because they give you achievements, but because it's such a silly thing. You get this buff. You're very happy for 1 hour, and you can see this beautiful little the fireworks. I love it. And it also represents a bit of what I want to have in my blog. There are a lot of different ingredients, a bit strange ingredients. Who would put a flower into a cake? You know, you have to have mage flour to make this cake. But odd ingredients. It's port, some wine, and it's some flowers, some flour. Oh, well, a lot of different things. And that's the way I want to have my blog, and that's the way I am. You can never really quite know what to expect from me or from my blog. You'll get a mixture, and hopefully it will make you a little bit happier.
Absolutely. I know it does. It's awesome eats.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you profusely for coming on the show, madam. It was an absolute pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to be here as the first non-native English-speaking person.
we're
greeting you from Europe, from all over the world. We love that we're invited to be here with you.
Yes, and there will be more, I promise. I promise. So we are working on contingency plans so that we can bring more Europeans and non-English speakers on the show.
Yeah.
So, again, Larissa's blog is at pinkpigtailinn.blogspot.com. Go check her out. She is awesome. And if you read her, drop her a note, say hi, and you enjoy the podcast. So thank you again, Larissa. Have a fantastic evening. Congratulations again on Malagos. It was awesome.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Lanyon from Moonfire at frostmage.net. Fib and Bree asked people to send in their twisted moments of 2008, so I thought I'd oblige with the pirate story. There's a faction in Stranglethorn Vale known as the Bloodsail Pirates. Most players never see them except as antagonists, but it's possible to get your reputation with them to friendly if you spend time beating up the guards in Booty Bay. A lot of time. Like, really a lot of time. At the end of it, goblins across the world will hate you, but the reward is a full set of pilot regalia, including a blood-red, Bloodsail Admiral's hat, which summons a red parrot when used. During the summer of 2008, I started this grind. It took weeks. When I finished, naturally, I wanted to show off the hat. This was before the achievement system put a title in for finishing that grind. So I wore the hat to one of the casual guild raids, and whenever anyone asked questions, I would respond in the pirate voice, and tell those lubbers where I got me new sartorial extravaganza. That turned out to be a mistake, since they then started refusing to follow any instruction not issued in the pirate voice. I have to admit, 6 months later, I can still remember telling the Karazhan raid, "Oh, the flags are green, ye swabs! Let's kill all this lover!" Moonfire and Druids in general do not condone and recommend the freebooting way spoken of in this moment. Please moderate carefully. It's all fun and games until somebody loses an eye, and it's officially a sport. Pirates appear big, sports hands. Pulling for lovers is probably their favorite. Responsibly. Accent may be dangerous if applied improperly, and Moonfire nor any of its affiliates can be held responsible, liable, or any way repay damages for any loss or potential loss of life, blood, body parts, hair, goodwill, pet, hat lives, gold, silver, balloons, or DKP incurred by wearing the Admiral's hat to a raid.
Yarr!
This is Lady Jess from LadyJess.com with another twisted moment of 2008. This other time at Kara, I was waiting at the bridge at the second level with my guildies waiting to go in and start killing stuff, with poor little dwarf warrior put my priest on follow. Unknown to me, of course, I had no idea. We were then told to go back to the front of Kara because we were going to port up to Shade's room. Being a priest, I had levitate, so I leaped off the bridge, levitated down, went to the front, went in, got up to Shade's room, all was good until poor little dwarf warrior says on vent, why am I dead? All I did was put Jess on follow. Oops.
Hi, this is Merdred from Treebound Cat with a public service announcement from the Blog Azeroth chat room. Jess is awesome. Thank you.
Am I interrupting?
Hot pockets. What's the jingle for hot pockets? I don't know.
I don't know, but what's the flavor? What flavor do we have today?
Flavor of the week is...
Cheddar and broccoli.
Cheddar and broccoli?
Yeah, man. That stuff is awesome. What are you talking about?
I don't like broccoli.
Yeah, that pseudo cheese whiz.
Fine. Broccoli. Cheese whiz is good. Broccoli is a little too healthy for me.
Come on. Smothered in the cheese. You can't even tell.
I don't know. Yeah. Broccoli. No broccoli.
Anyway, so our first topic.
Topic. This is a very interesting one.
Yeah, this is a really good one. And I want to thank Snapalina for forwarding this to us. She sent us an email and let us know about it. This is actually a rebuttal to another post, and it's from the host from How I Wow, Sean. If you guys don't know that podcast, it's a really good podcast.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And Sean and Patrick, from The Instance, are the ones, the two hosts for the show, and he wrote a rebuttal to a post on the Underground World of Warcraft blog that was talking about some tweets. This is why.
this of a this.
Oh, yeah. It's like of tweets from Total Biscuit, from WoW Radio, that he is the creator of WoW Radio and all that, about his comments about the podcasting, the medium in general, and the quality of it, and how people who aren't trying to add to that should not bother to do podcasts. And so Sean's rebuttal was, listen, I can understand what you're saying, but the point is that this isn't a full-time job for me. I'm doing this because I enjoy this, and I'm providing this content because people want this content and they're listening to it, regardless of the audio quality or the technical quality of the production. And isn't it better to have options for people to listen to than just saying, oh, it's this or nothing?
Yep.
So why don't you start off, Vim, what your thoughts are?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I also read the responses, which actually clarifies a lot of things. And it seems that the original Twitterers, were talking about a particular episode of, what was it? Sorry about that. I will find it. Something FM. Rebel FM, right? Rebel FM. The formal 1UP people from 1UP who used to have podcasts on there. They are basically saying that they had an issue where they, instead of using the normal headsets and such, they had and they were using the microphone on their laptop, I guess, when they were recording. And so instead of those headsets, and therefore the audio was kind of horrible, but they put it out anyway. Right. And I mean, why you have to rant about that particular thing? I mean, yeah, maybe they should have just re-recorded it, but you know what? I understand kind of putting all that time into talking and, you know, whatever. How can you replace that? You know, how do you redo that? It's not going to be the same. So if you really like what you did, and you it's kind of hearable. I didn't actually listen to this, so I can't tell you how horrible it was or whatever. I don't know. I like these guys, but I have not listened to that particular episode. But, you know, I can understand both sides. I can understand, you know, getting kind of upset that they did this and whatever, and how maybe I, in a kind of weird way, it reflects on all the podcasts, which I don't think it does. But, and then in the other side, you can say, well, they put all this time into doing it. If they've got something, you know, use it. I mean, we've plenty of times we've used kind of subpar audio that we, but that was all we had. You know, we're not going to re-record an interview just because the audio wasn't the best.
Right.
So, you know, obviously, yeah, if we lose it, which we have in the past, we've had to re-record it. It's happened, you know, but really, I mean, that interview was not the same interview as the first one. Not at all. So, first of all, I wasn't in the first one, right? Or was I?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't there.
No,
so,
you weren't.
You know, and I was in the second one. So maybe that was better, maybe not. But it wasn't the same interview. And so if you got to take into that into account. So, but beyond that, I think personally that barring it being completely unintelligible, pretty much anything in a podcast, if you can put something out there and, you know, for people to listen to, then, you know, you've done what you wanted to do. And not everybody needs to have the best podcast out there, and the right. audio quality, while certain people will like it and certain people won't, you know what, if you got, I personally do think that if people are listening, you're doing okay.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it reminds me also of, I don't know if you know this, but when I read this, it reminded me of Walt Whitman, actually. Uh-huh. When Walt Whitman first wrote Leaves of Grass, he, and this also goes into a lot of the boom of the internet and people doing things on their own, publishing their own materials, publishing their own work. He published Leaves of Grass on his own, on a little pamphlet, and was handing it out, writing his own reviews, getting people to read it. So, you know, you have this production, completely independent of any company or anybody saying that this is the standard or whatever. And he just made it on his own and people read it and it became a classic. And I'm not saying that happens with every podcast. I mean, obviously not, but what you're saying is true. I mean, I think that if people are willing to listen to it, I've listened to some horrendous audio. Okay. Horrendous audio. And I'm not just talking about ours.
Not just talking about ours? Wait a second.
No. I'm just joking. I've heard some really bad audio. I've heard some really bad production quality on some podcasts that I really enjoy. And I keep listening to it. Not because I'm annoyed. I may be frustrated sometimes that I can't hear them correctly or whatever. But it's because I want to listen to what they have to say. And I think that's true for the majority of podcasts out there. It's, you have some podcasts that are very small. They only have a few listeners. Mm-hmm. But the point is that these people who are producing it feel that they need to give this information out. It's the same way as you would have a blog. It's just an audio format of a blog.
Yep.
And you just want to say your opinion on something and you want to give that information out there. And whether you reach 2 people or 5,000, that's totally dependent on how accessible your message is to people and how people find it. Like, do they find it engaging enough to come back each week? And we've been lucky enough in our little corner of the universe that we've had several of you coming back each week, and we thank you for that.
Yes. Amazingly enough.
And for those podcasts that are huge, that have hundreds of thousands of listeners each week, that's fantastic for them. But it's the same premise. They all have something that you want to listen to. It would be the same way as if you kept going back to a blog. It's something that you want to read. So I can understand to a point, but at the same point, he is at the same camp as us or anybody else doing this.
Yep.
Yeah. So chill, Biscuit. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right, man. We still love your stuff. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I'm not going to tell
Absolutely.
Anyone their opinion
Absolutely.
Is incorrect. That's their opinion.
No.
We may have a different one.
No, absolutely. I mean, I'm not bashing him or anything. I'm just saying, you know, it's fine. I mean, I love Casually Hardcore. That's his production there. So.
Yep.
So it's great.
It's all good, man.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's all good. on to something completely
and now
separate.
For something completely different. Sorry. That phrase, copyright Monty Python. Okay.
How to make money.
Money. We like money.
Money.
Money. Money, money, money.
I saw this article and I was struck by it because I'm poor right now in the game.
Poor.
Like severely poor. Like, I'm selling greens that I have in my bags to pay for my repair bills because I haven't even bothered to start farming again. I'm like down to like 300 gold on all my tunes, I swear. And,
Quest.
I know, but I've been raiding or I've been leveling the alt. So
you don't make much leveling the 40s.
No.
You make questing on the 80s.
Yeah, no, I know. I need to, actually. But anyway, Solid Fork from, I'm not even going to try to say the
Omen
URL.
Omen of Clarity?
Yeah. Omen of Clarity, but I was looking at the URL.
Oh, yeah. No, just Omen of Clarity.
Omen of Clarity. Solid Fork had a really good article on how to make money quick. And, I mean, we all know about mining and the whole thing about gathering perfections will get you the more cash. I know that when I get serious on farming, I can make some serious money off my hunter because she's a miner and an herbalist. But he was even talking about picking up engineering also for the moat extractors and whatever, mm-hmm. so that you can optimize it between mining, getting the nodes, getting the elementals that come off it, also make the gems that drop every once in a while, and then having the moats for the crystallized earth or crystallized primals or whatever. So you make a ton of money with that. I mean, ore is out of hand expensive.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I agree.
So, yeah. And he also has a list of different mods that he uses to help him, and some of them I hadn't heard of before, so I really think it's a cool article of like outlining how to get ready for something like that if you want to start farming by mining.
Yep.
It's a really cool way of doing it.
Cool. Yeah. One of the add-ons is called Sexy Map. I want to try that just because it's called Sexy Map.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, one of the things that, I have multiple tunes, obviously, and I have mining on one and whatever. One of the things that I do for my herbalist that you can do, actually not herbalism, it's actually alchemy. For alchemy is I have herbalism and alchemy on one tune, and you get a lot of motes of life from herbalism, right? A lot. what I do every single day is I convert a life to fire. Because I don't have an engineer that can pick up the motes in Northrend because mine's 65. And then that fire I can either sell, because they sell for a lot on my server anyway, or what I do is I send it to my miner to make Titan Steel. So, I use my conversion of life into other things, although it's not worth it to turn to shadow. It's easier to buy it if you need it because it's cheap comparatively. But at least fire, which is expensive, I can convert life to fire. Fire goes into the Titan Steel daily, and then I could sell it. I actually been saving it up to maybe make that mace right now, since I've been unsuccessful of getting a weapon for my druid. But no, I definitely I don't know. As soon as I buy it, as I make that, you know what's going to happen.
Don't do it because
it's going to drop.
Exactly.
But that'll make it drop. It'll make it drop.
No, but that's the thing. Like, there's so many mats into that. Yeah. And there's like five different maces that you can get.
I know.
So
that's the problem.
Don't do it.
I don't know. We'll see.
Don't
I still don't have enough Titan Steel. So I'm hoping Tuesday that hand weapon will drop and I won't have to do it. So.
I mean, you got one on the last boss and Spider.
I know.
Gobulus.
Freaking drops. Kel'Thuzad has two things that I could use.
Yeah.
There's a mace and a dagger. The dagger's not as good, but I'll take it. It's still 100 more spell power. Anyway, this has nothing to do with making money.
Sorry,
we went off topic
money.
Again.
Back,
off
back.
Off our twisted our pockets. Twisted pockets.
Focus, Fim.
Focus. I got it. Heebie-jeebies. You got it. So anyway, yeah. He's got some great ideas using mining and engineering and to use that to sell, etc., and make lots of money. My suggestion is you have a level 80 or multiple level 80s, do quests on them. Because that also can get you lots of money. And I spent like almost 7,000 gold, I think I said this last week, on the epic flying and everything for my my priest when he hit 77, and I am back over 4,000 gold now. And it's only a few weeks. And it's not just from selling stuff, because actually I haven't been selling much at all. Selling the quest rewards that I don't need, and questing, and also doing instances and stuff, NAX. But in general, I mean, I'm doing pretty well. So
that's great.
Those are good suggestions too, I think. Okay, what's our last topic?
Our last topic is a post that is entitled, What Makes a Great Tank?
Yes.
And this one is written by Lewis over at...
Achtung Panzerkau.
Panzerkau.
Yes. Achtung. And warning.
Don't say that name in direct contact with another person.
Yes, you might get spit on.
Spit might be involved. So he wrote a really cool post, actually, describing what may be one attribute which is associated with tanks that fall into the great category. And you know what I'm talking about. Everybody has their list of tanks that they know are, like, phenomenal, that they want to have in their group because they know that this tank is going to just blaze through it, and it's they know what they're doing, and you can totally trust them. And then nothing against the other tanks, which are good. They're very good tanks, but not the same level as these guys. These guys are a little bit better. But there isn't just the gear quality here, and it's not just the skill quality. I mean, they can both be very skilled, but there's an added element to them that just makes it look like they're above and beyond. And that in Lewis's post here he attributes it to situational awareness. Not just the situational awareness that we think of, like, yeah, you need to be aware of, like, there's no void zones around you or whatever.
Yeah.
But
definitely that.
Yeah. But he was also attributing it to, like, how fighter pilots get trained, that they're aware of the distance, how far is this thing coming at them, like, the...
Yep.
What all these different things are going on, like their fuel, the weapons, the speed, the how high can they go in this incline and stuff. And he puts it in wild terms. And it's actually, you know, I would have never thought of it that way, but it really does make sense, you know, when they're thinking about how, you know, all these different things are coming at them in a split second and making adjustments accordingly. You
yep.
know,
yeah.
Whether what's the mob's health? Is the aggro too high? Does he need to switch targets? Is the healer's aggro's getting too high? Is something going for the healer? Is there, you know, does he have to pull something before he loses aggro? And
yep.
When you know when you see it, when you see it happen, it's like these people are like, it's almost like they're mind readers. They know when things are going to happen before they technically happen.
Yep.
And right before disaster hits, they step in and they fix it. And so it seems seamless. And then, so I think that he's on the ball with that, because I've seen that happen many a time.
Yep.
That you have these people that are just pretty amazing.
Yep. I mean, that doesn't only apply to tanks. I've seen plenty of hunters that the same way, in terms of, you know, they'll see something happening, they'll pop traps down and do this, and, you know, misdirect when something's going weird, or
right,
you know, I mean, I think that the biggest benefit is from a tank that does it. I think that's going to, and then next would probably be a healer, because that's another thing where,
I think it's the most visible.
Yeah.
For those two, because they're the most, if those two get lost.
Oh yeah. People die.
Yeah, people die, and you know it. Like, it's a much more, like, immediate impact. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the situational awareness, it applies to everybody, because I've seen great healers, I've seen great tanks, I've seen great hunters, mages, you know, druids, you know, apply, insert class here, and I've seen somebody who fits that bill.
Yep.
But yeah, I think the reason is that people can immediately see that in a tanking situation or in a healing situation is because it's so critical.
Yep.
Like, their roles are so critical. Like, yep. If they're gone, you're screwed.
Yep. Well, you pay attention to the tank. I mean, at least you should, I would hope.
Yeah.
You know, that you pay attention to the healers, kind of. You see that, you know, people are surviving. You know, a healer with situated awareness, say a priest, he'll make sure that renews are up on certain people, you know, that see, oh, they're going to get aggro, or they're going to have some issue, we'll put a renew up, I'll put this up. Oh, I got to start casting a long cast now, because they're going to get hit by something big, because there's, you know, the mob is about to do some big cast. I can't stop him, but I can get the healing kill ready. I see, you know, his cast bar is this long, so I'm going to cast it here, blah, blah, blah. But they make all these decisions, like, split second.
In the split second.
Yeah, boom, I need to know. I know how to do this. I do it, I just do it. And I know my job, and I know how long this takes, and et cetera. And it's you know, it's good for life. It's good for WoW. It's great for tanks. I try to teach my kid this stuff all the time. Forget WoW. You know, just, you know, don't, you know, why did you spill the drink on the table? Because you weren't paying attention to what's going on around you.
Right.
I mean, that's, it's life. So the better you are at this stuff everywhere, you know.
I agree.
The better
I agree.
It is. So it's great. It was a really good post.
It's a good post. Check it out.
Yes, it is a good pocket. It is hot. All good pockets are hot. So I think that's all of the topics we've got for this week.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one, let us know. If you know of one, send it in. We'll tell you how later, at the end of the show, as usual. So we will be back right after this with our mail. We've got a bunch of it.
Hey, Finless and Brief. This is Eeyore Savar from Bob's Casual WoW Hunting blog. And it took you guys three podcasts for me to actually respond to your WoW moments for 2008. But you sent the last one before February 6th, and now it's February 3rd. It's halfway through 2009 already. We're going to be out of trouble. We'll be out of time soon. Okay, so this is my moment of 2008. So I'm in a casual guild in Deathwing servers, the Can of Aggro, and we were finally getting to ZA and doing the boss, the bear boss, for the first time. And we sucked at first, and we died like three times and wiped, and we had, okay, one more time before we are done for the night. And I'm in a BM hunter there with a little mountain lion from South Shore that I had all the way from level 30. Still have, I let him go, but that's beside the point. Okay, so he's like, we're trying the boss our last time, and we keep just getting to, 5%, and then we're wiping, which now, you know, that seems pretty pathetic, but that was like around the beginning of 2008. So we're thinking we're going to do it this time, where everything's going well. We have our off tank and our main tank going, and DPS is doing well, and okay, the off tank goes down, and we're like, oh no, okay, let's just keep going. We have 10% left, and then the main tank goes down. I think we have, at that point, had 5% left. We only had healers and DPS left, clothies and SDPS hunter. So we're just trying to down him down as fast as we can, and then the healers are gone, and then one after another, it's just turning into a wipe, and I'm the very last person. And what the hunters do when they're the very last one to go, we feign death. We save lots and lots of money and on repair bill, and then we can tell everybody, well, we didn't technically wipe. So I feigned death when there's only 1% chance left. Yes, I'm pansy and I feigned death. So what happens? My cat's left, and my cat is about to get eaten by this bear. And his last two strikes or so, and it's only the cat kills the bear and saved everything, and I tried to go use my jumper cables on the priest. Probably didn't work, but it didn't matter, because we didn't wipe. We actually killed the, even though only the cat was left with me pretending to be dead. But after that, the guild thought my cat was pretty much the coolest thing next to sliced bread. So I was pretty excited about that. People were asking the cat, which I named Shirkan. I don't know if it's just because of my kids and I watched Disney too much because of them, but everyone was asking Shere Khan was busy later on that night, or if he wanted to go to parties, or they didn't care about me. They just thought that my cat was the coolest thing. So, unfortunately, after I started playing my gorilla, had to let the cat go, and was debating about taking him back to South Shore, but too lazy, so I dropped him off somewhere else. Sad to have him go, but I'm all about new pets now and moved on to bigger and better things, and he was sick of being in my stable because he wanted to go run around and kill things. Anyways, so that was my moment for 2008, if that was called in on time, and if you can hear this over the cell phone. And this is the Ursavar, or which is pronounced Bob, pretty much, and signing out.
All right. I have a very interesting moment for you two from 2008. And this goes to show that there are, in fact, many, many, many Huntards. I was in a Karazhan raid, and we had a warrior tank and a paladin healer. The hunter, we get to the first boss. The hunter decides to use Misdirect, whatever. And then after the fight begins, we see the boss run past the tank towards the healer. We then hear, oops, isn't the paladin tanking? Which brought a whole new level to the term Huntard in my book. Well, have fun, and my name is Darfo. Goodbye.
Blood. Destruction. Exhilarating!
Voices. From the nether. You didn't even ask me this time. Look at that.
No, I was waiting.
Just quiet. Just quiet. And then all of a sudden, voices. They just come from the nether, these voices.
It came at night.
At night, hidden from the nether.
Yeah, and like, promise, before we get into the mail, I promise, like I said, from last week, and I'm going to need Finn's help here, because a lot of these people's names I can't pronounce, as per usual. Because I think the world would end if I could actually pronounce people's names correctly on the first try.
You want me to read these?
Sure.
All of them? How come some are numbered and some aren't?
Well, because what happened was I started typing and I didn't select them all. But anyway, there's 18. So
okay, I'm starting. Here I go.
Yes, hold on. Let's say what these are first.
Oh, yeah. We have just a list of crap. Yeah. No, just kidding. Yeah. These are all people who left us reviews on iTunes.
And we want to thank you all.
Yes, thank you to the following 18 people. Yes.
Yes.
Jag's Feather, Sabiba, Cruel Bloodlore, Annika, Dash BB, Jedi Mask, Asara Dragon, D Monkey, Dead Eyes, Bryn Arisa, Isis, Mistara, Memphis, Duninus, Goldie Lim, Man Bear Pig. I think I know that one. Boom Splat, and Ja.
Yes, thank you guys. We really appreciate it.
So it could be Ja. Maybe not Ja. Could be Ja. Could be Ja. Could be Ja.
Could you?
Whatever language you speak.
Why don't you read the next part, Fim?
Oh, okay. And so, yeah. So, and we had also talked about somebody last week.
Yeah.
Who was on the round table in the chat room from across the pond.
Yes.
And they were up really early and stayed up all night or whatever. So we figured out the person's name. And I was right. It started with an F.
Yes.
It was Falsy. No.
Yes.
Falsy.
From
Master's Call. You, F person from Master's Call. Falsy, I think is your name. Thank you. And you left us a bunch of comments, actually. Not just one comment, a bunch of comments on that last episode.
Yes.
Thank you again for staying up all night. And let's see. Should we say what the actually said, or should we just send you to the comments?
We'll send you to the comments.
Go to the comments.
There's a gem there.
Yes,
he was very funny.
Yes. So, he also, I mean, this is not only a comment, but there was actually a post.
Yeah.
Associated with that comment also, where he goes in a little more detail. So, yes, go there. Go to Master's Call. He's awesome. He likes the show. That makes him awesome. And why don't you read this next
Yeah, this next one is actually from a former guest on the show, Fickle from For the Horde, and he wrote us an email and he says, "Hey guys, just wanted to let you know that I started working on a side project a few weeks back. It is basically an RP blog that I will turn into a very long story. It is called Ashes of the
Tirisfal.
Tirisfal. And I was hoping you could give me a plug on the next episode for potential RP fans out there. So this is your plug.
We're plugging it in.
We're plugging it in. RP fans, go there. Yeah.
No, sorry. No, it's, yeah, go there. We'll put the link into the show notes. Hopefully you have the link somewhere.
I do. Right,
he also links it to it from For the Horde.
Yeah.
Ashes of Tirisfal.wordpress.com. That's what it is. Yes.
Yep.
So, yeah, I screwed up the breaking things up, didn't I? Okay. Anyway, yeah, go there. I haven't actually read it yet. Ooh, fail me. I just haven't had time, but I intend to do so. So you guys better do it too. I said so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yes.
And,
why don't you read the next one?
Yes, we got an email from our friend and yours, Tiberius.
Tiberius.
The OCD spec hunter. From Earthen Ring.
And that's his wording, not ours.
The OCD spec hunter. And also from Tales from Tiberius.blogspot.com. And he has a question for us. Yes, woo!
Yes,
questions.
Woo.
We love questions. So, even if we can't answer them. He says, "I came to WoW a little later, but often hear podcasters mentioning details about how the gates of Ankaraj are open or closed on a certain realm. What is this all about? Can you provide your perspective about this gate and its importance?" It is so important. So thanks, Tiberius. Anyway, our perspective. Do we have a perspective? What happened? We can give you the story, history a bit. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away called...
Wrong thing. Focus.
So a long time ago, right here in this galaxy, there was a game that came out called World of Warcraft. And there were no expansions yet for this game. However, there were lots and lots of content patches. One of these content patches contained a new raid, two new raid areas called Ankaraj. However, when they released this content patch, you could not go to Ankaraj immediately. There was a very large, large buildup of a whole bunch of crap.
Raid, server-wide.
Server-wide. Both factions. You basically gathered cloth and bandages and just food, or I don't know.
Food,
it was insane amount of stuff. And you could go to like this one NPC and he'd tell you, "We've got 825,325,955 bandages. We need 4,325,524 more." Whatever it was. And people just went nuts and they did it. But I don't remember exactly how it was picked, but what happened was when it was all done and all of the things were collected, mm-hmm. somebody banged the gong or something, get it on, bang a gong. Whatever they did, they did something, and it opened the gates to Ankaraj, mm-hmm. and people could go raiding.
Right.
There.
And it's, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, and the person who did that banging of the gong, was called, what did they get the title? They got a title called...
Scarab Lord.
Like the guy who used to be on 1UP Yours.
Yeah.
And now works for Bungie. That, for some reason, I now can't remember his name.
Yeah, I don't know his name either.
Just drawn a blank completely. Luke Smith. Got it. There we go. Him. He was a Scarab Lord on his server. Anyway, so moving on. They got like a cool mount and everything. But that opened up the gates, and that opened up the ability to go to the 20-man and 40-man raid instances that are Ankaraj.
Right. So it was a server-wide event. So think of the Isle of Kaldanas when it came out at the end of BC. That, you know, for you to open up sections of the island, you had to work as together as a server to do that. It's the similar idea.
Yes. And originally, when new realms were opened, were started, they, I believe that the gates were closed, when they started New Realms. I don't know when, they, and then it's just changed, I think, somewhat recently, where all New Realms
somewhat
would
recently,
have them
yeah.
open. So I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe they changed it so that they're all open. I read something somewhere about that. But it used to be when they would open a new realm, the gates would be closed. So you have to go through the process of opening them again. And that's kind of a crazy thing, especially on a new realm. So yeah, I guess they changed their
like
mind.
With like 10 people.
Yeah. Yeah. 10 people had a very hard time gathering enough mats to do all this. So anyway, that's
what it is.
What it is. I hope we answered your question. You probably could Google Encourage closed or something like that, or gates, and get probably the same answer, hopefully. But there you go. Tiberius, thank you for your question.
Yep.
We are happy to be able to answer it, hopefully. and we got a voicemail last week.
Yep.
Not really a question. Well, actually, not at all a question.
No, it's just a greeting.
We're going to play this from Davlin. From epicdwarvenblogger.something.com. We'll play it. He says it in there. He's just saying hi. Thank you for saying hi. We appreciate it. So we're going to play your voicemail right here.
Howdy. This is Davlin from epicdwarvenblogger.wordpress.com. I'm just calling to say hey to my favorite bloggers over at Twisted Nether. Hey, Finless. Hey, Bree. Just saying hi and giving you a shout-out. That's Davlin.
Okay, thank you very much for that awesome voicemail.
Yes,
we're
thank you.
We're waving back at you. You can't see, but we're waving.
No.
I'm doing it right now. Wave, wave.
Same
wave,
way
wave.
Him does air quotes, we
yes,
can't see.
I don't know where you are, so I'm just waving everywhere. Everywhere. 360. Woo, wave. Okay. you're up in the sky. Yay. Okay. Thank you again. And everybody go visit his blog right now while you're listening. Okay, doing that? You going? Okay, good. That is the end of our Voices from the Nether segment.
Yes.
It's over. Don't forget to call us and send us more emails so we can have a bigger Voices from the Nether section, because we like
it. Yes, we do.
It's awesome.
Yes, it is.
And I'm hoping you have been enjoying the moments I've been including in, you know, between all the segments here. Some of them are pretty funny. Actually, most of them are. So, you know, let us know what you think of those, too. They're pretty cool. So, we'll be right back. Here's another one of them right after this.
Hey there, guy and gal at Twisted Nether. It's Davlin again, and I'm hoping that the twisted moments of 2008 are still good to go. Otherwise, just disregard this. But I happen to have me a BRK moment. I call it a BRK moment because he was very embarrassed that it happened to him in Nexus. I've got something that I think kind of tops it. Happened to me in Kara. I was running up the slide, the trail there, the road there, it's tiered. It's all tiered. I'm stuttering here. What happens is we're going to Shade of Iran, and we came across a mob, a whole bunch of those shade little ghostly guys. And I'm shooting, and I'm shooting, and I'm shooting, and they just gave us a disengage. I wasn't even thinking. I was like, wow, I'm looking at them this way. I'm straight on. I'm straight on. Well, it turns out the camera angle isn't exactly the way you disengage. So I disengage off, and I'm so shocked that this engineer, Hunter, can't get his parachute up. And I end up landing down below, and everybody ends up killing and laughing at me, and that's my twisted moment of 2008. Thank you very much. Good day.
Hi, this is Mairdred from Treebound Cat, and this is my twisted moment of 2008. Now, I already blogged about this, but since Bray and Fim asked for twisted moments, I really couldn't resist. I mean, this one takes the cake for me. It can pretty much be summed up with the best Ventrilo quote I think I'll ever hear. Mairdred, why are you dead? And where are your pants? Which was promptly followed by, hey, Regil, remember that time I healed Lurker with my fishing pole? Yeah, funny story about that. You see, as a resto druid, I spend pretty much all my time in this thing called tree form. And while in this tree form, my armor and weapons are not visible at all. Sadly, or humorously enough, this does include fishing poles. So, I forgot to switch to my gear. And I healed Lurker, with my fishing pole. So after this, I set up some keybinds with Outfitter to equip some of my most common outfits. I had Alt-Q for some healing gear, I had Alt-W for balance gear, I had Alt-E for naked. And every time we'd fish up Lurker, I'd hit Alt-Q to unequip the fishing pole and re-equip the healing weapon and offhand that I have, right? So this one night, after the boss was summoned, I tapped Alt-E instead. Went on my merry way, not realizing what I had done. Though I did wonder why my heals were so small and where the heck all my mana was going, I just couldn't figure it out until I looked at my character screen, facepalm. I knew what I did. And I just pretty much tried to stay alive, kept some life blooms on myself, as well as the tank. Alas, it was not meant to be. During the second set of ads, I took an arcing smash, and boom, dead. With my customary spot right next to the tank, he had a pretty great view of my nude, pink, dead night elf legs. And thus, the funniest quote I've ever heard on Vent, and my twisted moment of 2008. Thanks for listening, folks.
Back in business. Now, to execute an exit strategy.
We're done.
Yeah.
We're done.
Amazing.
It's over. This is probably going to be a long show.
36 in the can.
Yes, 36. Six times six. I don't know what I'm talking about.
continuing from that, if you have a question, tip, blog, or post you think we should check out, let us know. You can contact us at info@twistednether.net. You can also call us on our hotline at 206-203-4546. Oh. And we will play your question on the air.
Call me. I'm not going to sing the whole thing. That's enough of it.
What? Okay, anyway.
The song, Call Me. No, never mind.
Oh, jeez.
Where else are we?
We are on Twitter.
Ooh, yes, we are.
Tweet us.
Tweet us. Tweet us nicely.
Yeah, treat us nicely. Also, our Twitter name is Twisted Nether.
Amazing.
We're very creative.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a link to it on the website on the right-hand side.
Which is where?
The website is at www. How surprising. .twistednether.net. Another Woo-hoo! Exciting and unique name there. .net. Yeah. Remember, it's .net, not .com. www.twistednether.net. That's only three W's. We also have forums at Blog Azeroth. They're kind of anemic right now. You know, guys, go and post something cool. Talk about your favorite blogs. You know, post stuff about your favorite blogs. These are good. Post topics that you like. People have good posts. Even if you don't want to call us and tell us about them, put them on the forum so other people know to go. I mean,
make my life easier.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, Bree will look on the forum and go, "Whoa, look at all these topics we can talk about."
Yes.
So go there. Even if you don't want us to talk about, just put them in there so other people will find them there and be able to find those great posts out there. Because there are so many WoW blogs, we can't possibly read them all every week.
No.
That's your job. Out there.
And you can also check out the wiki.
Wiki.
At wiki.twistednether.net. Go and have a look. If you find that your blog or one of your favorites is not there, then email wiki@twistednether.net with the subject TNB Wiki. And our Wikibrarian, the illustrious
Kestrel,
will add them as soon as he's able. We beg you, please, use the form, the template that is on the wiki, so that Kestrel will add it as is, because it makes it a lot easier.
Yes.
There's certain information we need from y'all to make it work.
Yes.
So please, oh please, if you want us to include it, just copy and fill out the information the way it's listed.
Yep,
and
there's all the information on how to submit a blog to the wiki is on the wiki. Amazingly
enough. It's on the wiki and also on the forum. So you got two locations where to look, and I think it's even on the website. So
I think we need to update the one on the forums.
I think we do too.
Yeah, because we added some fields.
We'll do that.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes.
iTunes. We all tune for iTunes. We are there.
Yes,
as most of you know already. And we just gave a shout out to everybody that's left a comment there. Guess what? If you leave a comment there, we'll give you a shout out too.
Woohoo!
Leave us a comment. We want to hear it. We want to hear what you think.
Yes, please.
Leave us a comment there. Or leave us a comment on the forums. Leave us a comment on this show, on any show. Mm-hmm. We want to hear from you guys. We want to know what's going on out there. You listen to us. We want to listen to you.
That's right. That's right.
Yes. We plugged the shirt store last week. Shirt store is still there, bottom right corner of the site. Go buy some shirts. Someday I may actually create some new ones. I think they're pretty cool. BRK has one of our shirts, so you should too. Of course, I gave him it, but that's besides the point. Next week,
we are not having a show.
Yeah, we're taking a break. We need it. You can tell. we're just taking a break. We need a little bit of time off. We're taking a break, and then we'll be back the week afterward.
Yes, the week afterward, and then we have Mayor.
Mayordred.
Mayordred.
From Treebound
Cats. Treebound Cats.
Yes.
Yes.
That will be
And that one is going to be live. We're going to be doing the show live.
Live interview.
Yes. Yes, live interview.
Yeah, so join us Friday. 2 weeks from, a week from this coming Friday. After you're listening to this, when it came out, a week from Friday.
Yeah.
We'll be on the normal Ustream. We'll put a post up. Don't worry about it. And join us to listen to us interview Mayor and make fun of him. I mean, no, and ask him lots of good questions. And we will try to keep Pookie from
linking. Pookie, I will stable Pookie. Pookie will not be going for Mayor's butt.
Yeah,
he may be
running around his office
now,
going,
Now, if Mayor starts giving him the evil eye, I can't,
he may break free.
Restrain him forever. He may break free, but.
Yeah, if he, Mayor, remember, no insulting Pookie.
That's right.
Or we may just have to let him go. I think that's it. I think we're done.
I think that's it.
I'm done with it anyway. Let's put it to rest. Put it to bed. Episode 36 is over.
It is.
Go to sleep.
Good night to you all. Thank you for listening. Yes. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yes, see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
This is Renew Risco from Unbearably Hot, and you are listening to the Twisted Nether Blondcast.
So now that FIM theory crafting is out of the way, welcome to the Twisted Nether Blogcast. This is episode 33.
Can't get 33.
Can't start over.
That's not 33.
Okay. Go ahead and start over.
Wait, you just start from true. I'll figure it out.
All right. The insert blooper here. All right. Starting. Stop laughing.
Sorry, you said that. That's made me laugh more. I was holding it back. Okay.
Okay. This is so going in a loop.
Okay. Shut up.
All right, wait. And now I need to look away from the computer. God. All right.
True. This week on TNB, we have some of the usual, with a couple of pig... Let's just say that wrong. Why don't we? And I typed it wrong, too, so why shouldn't I say it wrong? Ping pigtails. That's what we got. A couple of those, whatever they are. From the top of mine. Okay.